30-some million people have seen a video of a woman walking down the streets of New York, dressed in jeans and a t-shirt, and getting catcalled by dozens of men. She doesn't respond to their comments and gets more. She gets followed by a couple, wondering why she isn't responding.
How are you doing today? That's not good.
What's
up, beautiful? Have a good day.
Hey, what's up, girl? How you doing? Somebody's acknowledging you. She said, thank you.
So that's just a sample of the video, 10 Hours of Walking in New York City as a Woman. It was produced by a freelancer for the anti-street harassment group Hollaback, and it has prompted a national conversation about whether catcalling like this is harassment, how to stop the unwanted attention that so many women have experienced walking in their communities. And we wonder, what are your thoughts? Has this ever happened to you? Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, November 4th. It's Election Day. Go vote. No campaigning on the air today, but do call in with your thoughts on street harassment. Should there be a law against catcalling? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Lindsay Middlecamp, a member of the Board of Directors for Stop Street Harassment, an advocacy group based in Washington, D.C. She is also the creator of Cards Against Harassment, a project to educate men and women about the problem of street harassment. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for joining us. Now, I just want to make it clear that you are with a different group that wants to stop street harassment. You are not with Hollaback, the group that this video was made for.
Correct. Hollaback, I believe, has been around since at least 2011 and has focused its advocacy on empowering and educating women who experience and kind of mapping geographically where women across the world have experienced street harassment, whereas Stop Street Harassment has been around since 2008. It's recently done a survey-based national study on street harassment within the U.S. and has some international work as well. It's a little more research and a little less, at least historically, it's been a little less about individual contributors, but we're expanding our efforts as well. So missions are very similar, but kind of different presence online.
So what was your reaction of this video after it went viral of the woman walking in New York?
I think my reaction was like a lot of women, and I've seen a fair amount of media coverage that has the same reaction, which is most women viewers say, yeah, what's new about this? This is just a depiction of the average day for a lot of women. I think the only people who've been surprised by it are men. So I think most men who've been paying attention aren't even that surprised by it. So my reaction is that although it was commissioned by a freelancer and was a public service announcement, it's very accurate for a lot of women. And if anything, it's pretty mild in terms of the spectrum of street harassment that women face.
Yeah, it was a little hard to hear some of the comments, but it was, you know, hey, beautiful, you know, smile, other things like that, hello, baby. So some people are saying, like, here's Gerald on Facebook who says, harassment is a continued and unwanted action. What's happening in this video is largely not harassment. Men or women casually saying smile, hello, good day, you're beautiful, and other such phrases are a means of socialization, flirtation, and human interaction. What's your response to that?
Well, I think he kind of nailed it with the first part of the comment and then lost track as he continued. It is continued, although one comment may be isolated by one passerby. The actual experience of street harassment for many women and even some men, as our survey showed, is that it's daily. It's constant. It can be threatening and escalating and often turn to violence. So even though one particular comment taken in isolation might seem like a normal thing, if you, as this woman did, or as many women do, get a constant barrage of comments just trying to pass a few blocks, that becomes an intimidating environment, even though in a different environment, the same comment might have been welcome or at least not threatening. So, you know, I would challenge men who have a hard time empathizing with this to imagine what it's like to get not one of those comments, but 20 of them over a 20-foot span and realize something weird is going on here. Everyone's looking at me. Everyone is saying something. And why are they doing it? And I would argue that no one's making these comments to men. If a simple, hey, have a nice day, smile is really not a gendered experience, then why aren't men hearing the same thing?
Yeah. Yeah. It's not as though this woman was at some social gathering or at a cocktail party. She was walking down the street.
Right. And if you read, I encourage you not to read the YouTube comments, but if you want a snapshot of why this reflects a deeper gendered issue, I think most people who've seen the video would agree, A, dress is completely irrelevant, and B, this particular video was produced mindful of the stereotypes of who gets street harassed, and so they dressed her in a high-neck t-shirt and blue jeans, and there are still a number of comments that say, well, don't dress so provocative and you won't get comments. When I was doing my kind of mini press junket this summer, I had multiple interviewers ask me, well, what were you wearing when you were street harassed? I had Good Morning America call my employer to make sure I don't wear a bikini to work. So if a smile, just say hello, isn't a gendered pickup attempt, then why is the next conversation, well, what were you wearing to deserve it? I think that if people think through the natural questions that a lot of untrained sexists ask when they hear about street harassment, the only logical conclusion is that it is highly gendered and it is highly sexualized.
So why call it street harassment as opposed to catcalling? I'm seeing both terms.
Sure, that's a great question. And I think our national survey both defines street harassment, and then the data itself, which is available, by the way, on stopstreetharassment.org, kind of gets at why we need an umbrella term. Catcalling, as we've historically called it, first off, it is a dismissive kind of playful term in and of itself. And so I think for a lot of women, men and women who get body shamed, who get gender policed, who get shouted at in a way that is not complimentary, catcalling doesn't really cover their experience. And a lot of men and women report homophobic, transphobic, body shaming kind of comments as they pass if you don't present the way that that particular person thinks you should present. But also it includes sexual touching, following, being, you know, assaulted or threatened in a way that catcalling just can't simply cover. But we, and many activists, view it as behavior all on one spectrum. The moment you feel that you're entitled to police someone's behavior on the street by talking to them or following them, there's a big range of behaviors that can come with that.
Yeah. So, Lindsay, who is the street harasser? Is there a demographic?
You know, I think that touches on what a lot of the appropriate criticism of the I Holla Back video, and to a lesser extent, if mine didn't go as viral, my videos, there's a representation problem in the way we talk about street harassment. The short answer is no, there is not one demographic of street harassment. Every country in the world seems to have this issue in different forms. We have a lot of international efforts that range from rural areas in, you know, the Middle East to highly urban areas in the UK. You know, it's everywhere. And for me personally, I've experienced from, you know, wealthy white businessmen to people who are waiting at bus stops. I think the problem is the Holla Back video and many video-based activism depict the ones that you pass on your daily commute, which may be the people taking the bus. It may be lower-income people, and in her video and some of mine, it's predominantly Black and Latino men. And that's simply not an accurate look of who actually street harasses. And if you aren't on Twitter, listeners, I encourage you to get on Twitter. It's a great place to get news on this. The Not Just Hello hashtag and the You OK Sis hashtag are organized by Black women, frequently focus on and center the experience of women of color and Black women, and they are full of stories of white men who not just harass them, but proposition them for sex, threaten them, and then make it so they don't feel like they can even go to the police over it. So although the representation to date has been skewed, as is a lot of discussion of issues that affect white women, unfortunately, there is a broad spectrum that includes every gamut of demographics.
Yeah. Well, I have to admit, growing up in Appleton, Wisconsin, which is
Appleton. Funny.
Are you serious?
Yes, I am. I am.
What a small world. Oh, my God. That is so. I was going to say, well, you can attest, mainly a white community, especially in when I was growing up in the 60s and 70s. And there, plenty of white men were doing this. But this is my surprise to some extent. I'm not surprised that it's still happening at all, but I really did think that the women's movement stopped some of this. Apparently not.
No, it hasn't, obviously. And the video I have that has the most views on my YouTube channel from the summer is of a white entitled businessman. And he emailed me after the video went live, kind of threatening me that I needed to take it down because it was defamation of character. So I think that there, to the extent there is a misrepresentation issue, it's because a lot of wealthy white businessmen do their harassing in passing from, like, a lot of them are in cars. And so if they're honking or hanging out of their car saying things about your body, a lot of women aren't able to catch that on film because by the time you go to get your phone, it's driven off. And to a bigger point, you shouldn't have to catch it on film. I think the problem with this video, the problem with my videos, and the reason a lot of particularly black activists, but a lot of women activists generally are frustrated is they've been telling these stories for years. They've been saying for years, hey, white men are harassing me. Every neighborhood I go in, I get harassed. I got groped. I got assaulted, whatever. And yet for some reason, the default assumption is that women are exaggerating or lying until some video depicts a snapshot of what happened. And then suddenly it's compelling and people latch on and say, oh, wow, that must be a real issue. But you're absolutely right. It happened at Appleton. It was different then. It was more people in cars. It was more, people in passing while you're jogging or going to the gym. But it's something that a lot of women experience all over the country.
Appleton East, 77. You want to tell us?
I was Appleton North, 2004.
Lindsay Middlecamp is a member of the Board of Directors for Stop Street Harassment, which is an advocacy group based in Washington, D.C. She is the creator of Cards Against Harassment, a project to educate men and women about the problem of street harassment. We'll talk with her a little bit about her project, and we'll welcome your questions and your experiences. 1-800-642-1234. Have you experienced street harassment? Are you wondering what the big deal is about this video that has gone viral? Let us know. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking about stopping street harassment and welcoming your questions and your reactions to that video that went viral last week showing the woman walking in New York City getting harassed at every turn, getting comments like, hey, baby, hey, beautiful. When she didn't respond, a couple of them would walk alongside her and ask her, whether she thought she was too good for them or, why she wasn't responding. So how do we put an end to this? Do you think we need to put an end to this? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We are talking with Lindsay Middlecamp, a member of the Board of Directors for Stop Street Harassment, an advocacy group based in Washington, D.C. Cheryl on Facebook says, yes, this is harassment. It happened to me, and it can be scary when they don't back off. It is harassment if the attention is unwanted. It's not just men saying, hi, beautiful. It's men saying disgusting things and then threatening you if you don't respond with a smile. And that's part of it, Lindsay. If you don't respond, sometimes the harassment gets worse.
Oh, absolutely. And sometimes if you do respond, the harassment gets worse.
Right.
I mean, I've had a number of experiences where it starts with a hello, and my personal comfort level walking around in the world, I'm happy to say hello, especially to my neighbors and people that I share the city with. So I often say hello back. If I'm waiting at a bus stop, we might start a conversation. And so then there's this moment where the hairs on your neck go up, where it suddenly turns to talking about your body, talking about what they want to do with you. And so there really isn't a way to react. There was a woman, and this isn't traditional street harassment in that it happened, you know, in a club, but for people who haven't heard this story, a young, beautiful, you know, great woman named Mary Spears in Detroit was with her family. I think after a funeral, this guy was hassling her for a phone number. She finally told him, "I'm with somebody," and he shot her in the head and she died. And that was just a couple weeks ago. And so the idea that women should respond and just politely decline, or women should ignore it, we've experienced how that can escalate in every turn. And so I don't think there is an easy tip. And I frankly think that's a very obnoxious response that women experience a lot when they talk about this thing they experience. There's often a man right up in line saying, "Well, you know, you should just ignore it," or "You should just politely decline," or "You should just give him a fake number." And none of that works.
We have many calls, so let's go to Joe in Appleton, another Appletonian. Hi, Joe.
Hey, how you guys doing this morning?
Good. Well, what are your thoughts?
Good. I was just calling to say my girlfriend, even we've talked before, she'll go out with her friends or something, and she'll be like, "I should probably dress down. I mean, I don't really want to get too much attention tonight." And it gets to the point where people are thinking about it even before they go out. It clearly is an issue, and it needs to be addressed. And my second point is more of a question. If it was illegal, how would that be enforced? It seems like it'd be kind of hard to police that.
Well, and thanks for bringing that up, Joe. I did post the Room for Debate section of the New York Times, which is currently running the question, should catcalling be against the law? I meant to ask you, Lindsay, do you think it ought to be against the law?
I think Stop Street Harassment and Hollaback all share a non-carceral approach. I don't think it needs to be against law for several reasons. First, we already have law against assault, groping, public masturbation, things that I've experienced, and you can call the police over if it escalates. So I don't think we necessarily need new laws. And the other reason, and I think this has been very well fleshed out by Feminista Jones and Mickey Kendall on Twitter, we don't need laws that police can use. And I come from a police household, so I respect law enforcement a great deal, but these are the kinds of laws that would easily get used to profile and target black men, because it could easily arise from any kind of racial discomfort. And then you say, "Oh, I've been harassed." And so I think community-based solutions rather than criminalization, because we already have good laws to protect some of the more severe, I think there's a role for police in being educated on what street harassment is, how to create a community that doesn't foster that. But the idea of giving someone a ticket for saying "smile, baby" doesn't make sense from a First Amendment standpoint or a cultural standpoint. I think we can fix this issue through education, respect. You know, Joe, I love hearing from men who say, "I have women in my life," or "I've been street harassed. I have empathy on this issue." Because I think that's really where it starts, is just guys telling their guy friends that's not a cool way to relate to people. There are much better ways to hit on women. Women telling each other it's okay to feel like this isn't an appropriate way to be treated, and communities kind of dealing with it through education.
Yeah. So tell us about Cards Against Harassment.
So that was a project I started this spring. And again, I'd be really interested to see some studies on why certain things go viral when others don't. There's a great project by an artist, I think she's Brooklyn-based, named Tatiana Fazlaslide, butchering her last name, I'm sorry. She's been doing work on this for years, painting portraits of women who are harassed. And there's other activists who've done some really awesome art projects. So I don't know why mine went viral this summer when others haven't. But for me personally, I had a few back-to-back interactions this spring that were so short-lived, you know, men saying something as they bump past you and then keep walking, that I, as a kind of snarky, outgoing, I like to be able to have my voice as well kind of person, found that part very frustrating. Like, not only am I being harassed, but by the time I process it, I'm alone, that guy's going on with his day, and I don't have anyone to talk to about it. And so I came up with little cards that had kind of pithy sayings or lightly chastising phrases with a little icon that I would hand to harassers. And so I made those just for myself and a couple girlfriends who talked about the issue in Minneapolis, where I am now. And then I had a guy friend kind of skeptically say, well, surely you don't need cards. It can't possibly happen that often. So I decided just for a couple weeks it'd be interesting to film my daily commute to and from work via bus and just show how many times men crossed my path and said something about my appearance that was unwanted. It wasn't always something bad. Often it's, you know, on that more benign end of the spectrum. But I would ask, you know, why do you think that I want to hear you say that? And then some of the most bizarrely sexist explanations of how women are put on this earth for men and women like the attention and how can I must have a mental problem to not like it. And so I think that part is why BuzzFeed eventually picked it up and it went viral this summer, was not the harassment itself, but the sexist justification for it.
Yeah. But and we just have a minute before we break, and we'll pick up and talk more after the break. But these cards are still available if people want to pass them out to people, or was it just for that project?
Yep. It's available online at my website. I've got the PDFs free for download. Important disclaimer. My experience as a cis white woman in Minneapolis is normally I feel pretty secure. Handing out cards is not preferable or safe for a lot of women. And so it's not something I'd push on people. But if they want the cards, if they feel like it's a good fit for them, they're available online.
We'll put a link to your website on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page as well. Maybe we can even find that viral video of featuring our guest, Lindsay Mellencamp, a member of the Board of Directors for Stop Street Harassment. And we are talking about how do we do that? How do we stop street harassment? And we'll continue after we check the latest news. Have you ever had a total stranger tell you to smile as you're walking past him on the street, or how you're looking good today, or even how you're not looking good today? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Do you consider this street harassment? Well, our guest and many others do. We are talking about street harassment and how it can be curbed or stopped. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Lindsay Mellencamp, a member of the Board of Directors for Stop Street Harassment, an advocacy group based in Washington, D.C. She is the creator of Cards Against Harassment, a project to educate men and women about the problem of street harassment. And since we have so many calls, let's go right back to the phones. Ruth in Madison is with us. Hello, Ruth.
Hi. I can tell you right when this changed in Madison, Wisconsin, because I have always been a night owl, and I have always loved walking in the night, and a lot of times I would walk by myself. And up until right around 1970, I was safe to do that. But it seems like that when women asked men to, you know, you don't really have to open the door for me, you don't really have to do this anymore, it was like it was giving them permission to not be polite to us anymore on any level. Because whereas in the past where I would be walking and somebody might genuinely, might stop and with genuine politeness and concern ask me, are you okay? Oh, yeah, I'm fine. I'm just walking. But then later, you know, after like 1970, it became more, like you say, of the street harassment, of the make you afraid that you're out at night all by yourself. And, you know, where all of a sudden, even the newspaper reporting came to be like the opposite, where if a woman were raped in her home, well, why did she leave her window open? Why was her door unlocked? Mm. Not why. What gave him the right to enter her house?
Right. Ruth, thank you very much. Well, Lindsay, do you know from your research the roots of street harassment?
You know, I anecdotally can tell you I've received a huge volume of emails and letters from older women who say, I've experienced this my whole life. I've experienced this since the 40s, the 50s. So while I'm not at all diminishing that Ruth's experience may have gotten worse and that Madison may have had a cultural shift, I think that this has been alive and well long since, you know, women started to have discussions of what chivalry is good and what reflects deeper sexism. And I'd even argue that the same people who open doors, and I'm not anti-door opening, but to use that example, the same people who are more traditional in their gender roles are still often street harassers. So I don't have an easy answer for where it comes from. I do think that time on the street increases the risk of exposure, and I, like Ruth, walk around a lot. So I've heard that increased rates of unemployment or loitering can increase volumes in certain urban environments. But again, that doesn't talk about the countless wealthy white guys in cars who've been doing this since cars were invented. So I think even if you watch classic movies, you know, there's that one Watching the Girls Go By video that went viral earlier this summer about street harassment. This is not a new issue. This has been around for as long as sidewalks have been around.
Thank you, Ruth. Julie in Appleton. Hi, Julie.
Hello. I have a different comment, but I did just want to respond about Ruth sounded like a lovely woman, and I just feel so sad, though, that it always does turn around. Like, we've tried to find some reason that it happened, and it almost sounded in what she said that it was to blame on women because we stopped wanting people to open doors and that issue. It made me realize how inbred it is, or, you know, what we're wearing brings it on, or mm-hmm. all those issues you've discussed already. But there is just no right for men to behave this way. And when they say that, oh, I don't know why they don't like it, I'd love it if some young girl said, you look good today, or, oh, I like your jeans, or they're trying to just flip it like, oh, women feel this way? Well, we wouldn't feel this way. Well, what if a big burly man called out to them and said, hey, man, I want to do you, or you look great, or, you know, they're not looking at it as the threat, the physical, and luckily there are a lot of strong women, but when you look at the overall population, it's threatening because there actually can be this power over us, and that's something that just gets me so infuriated. And my daughter is 18 and was going out for Halloween, and my husband is a feminist and just a wonderful man, but he questioned her costume. She wanted to be a genie, and she's beautiful, and she looked great, and she was not promiscuous, but he was fearful of her going out to a college campus wearing this, where if my son was to want to dress as a genie and or a dress or whatever he'd want to do, we would laugh and be like, oh, have a good time. And so it is just really sad that it's gotten to that point where there's this inability to just go out and be in the world the way you want to be and not worry that some but thank you for bringing the subject
Julie,
up.
Julie, thank you very much. That's very thought-provoking. And Lindsay, is there any way we can get guys to put themselves in, I don't know, that woman in the video's place and what they would think of if a big burly guy was saying, hey, good looking?
Well, I think the short answer is yes. It's obviously there's more to it than just hoping that they reach that conclusion on their own. There's a great journalist who's been doing a lot of coverage in Ferguson named Elon James, and he started a hashtag called Dudes Greeting Dudes this week. And it's meant to flip that on its head and not to call on homophobia to fix sexism, because that's obviously, you don't want to tap into straight men's aversion to being hit on and then say, yeah, go with that feeling. But his point was these comments, even the benign ones, you just wouldn't say them to a fellow guy. It's clearly a gendered thing. So I encourage people to check out that hashtag as a starting point. But I think it is about creating empathy. And I am troubled with the idea, again, that women have been telling their narratives for years and years and years. So why do we need a video? You know, I've received a number of emails kind of challenging, well, this isn't that bad. If you've really been masturbated at, why don't you have a video of that? If you've really been stalked, why don't you have a video of that? It's like, are you really, you expect women to stand around on the street corner and film their worst most dangerous interactions to prove your skepticism away. So I encourage male listeners to just keep an open mind. You don't, if women report that they've been mugged, normally you'd just say, wow, that's terrible. I'm so sorry that happened to you. And yet when women report they've been followed by a stranger, suddenly it's, well, you're an attention whore. So challenge that. Push beyond that. Listen to your wives and sisters and mothers. And think about what it is like to walk through a world where, you know, I like Ruth and like many others, like walking alone. It's part of how I decompress from a day. But if it's 10 p.m. and I'm on a dark, safe neighborhood street in Minneapolis and there's a crowd of six guys on the sidewalk, I have been taught from a young age that is a risk scenario. I don't think a man passing a crowd of six women sees that as a risk scenario. And so right off the bat, even if a comment is just, hey, where are you going alone tonight? I think you have to acknowledge that there would be a power differential there.
In fact, we had someone on Facebook, a man, comment, hey, what's the big deal? I was a construction worker and women used to whistle at me. And Cheryl then responded, men, it's not the same as when a woman whistles at you because you don't have to worry that she is going to rape you or kill you if you don't smile back. I don't know if a law is the answer, but we have some serious work to do so that all people can feel free to walk where and when they please without feeling afraid or threatened. And that's what you're saying.
Yeah, and to a lesser extent, I mean, I think it is easier for people and appropriate for people to focus on the big selling point, which is risk and intimidation. But men also don't grow up in a world that tells them their appearance is everything, that they expire at age 30, that they're going to miss this attention when it's gone, that kind of stuff. Like, men are raised to see themselves as whole people, that appearance and attraction is one part of it, but they walk out in the world not necessarily feeling under a microscope. So even beyond the fear that if I don't respond well, this guy's going to attack me, I think many women, whether they are, you know, gender presenting the way that they are told they should, or conventionally attractive, or getting fat shamed, we walk through the world thinking I am being judged for how I look. And so to have people comment on your appearance incessantly reinforces that even beyond the risk of rape or murder. It's just walking through that kind of judgmental environment isn't positive for people's self-esteem. It's counterintuitive, but compliments don't necessarily make people feel better. They make them feel more scrutinized.
Jason in Prairie du Chien is with us now. Hello, Jason.
Hi. Yeah, this is the first time I've actually ever listened to your show. I was just flipping through and I found it. You know, I understand a lot of what you're saying and how it can be deemed harassment, and there are a lot of people out there who do take it too far. But, like, for myself, my grandfather was my primary male influence, and I was always taught to respect women, compliment women, hold doors. And now I think a lot of the issue is a social media. You know, because it is confusing. You see, some women want this, some women want that. So I can see where the younger generation is confused. But it's gotten to the point now where even if I go to hold a door open for a woman, I wonder, is she going to be offended by this? Is she going to be angry that I held the door open for her? If I think a woman looks nice and I tell her, you know, wow, you look really nice. Or, you know, you're a very beautiful woman. Whatever the conversation or whatever it might be struck up on, you know, it's you run that risk of offending that person simply because you complimented them.
Yeah.
We live in a society where compliments are now hurtful.
Yeah, so what's a guy to do, Lindsay? He's just trying to compliment women.
Well, and I appreciate that you preface that, acknowledging that there is harassment that we can all agree is harassment. And I do understand that there are the areas that are a little more confusing for nice guys who say, I want to be able to interact in the world and be social and not be incredibly self-conscious. One, I would consider myself a pretty devout card-carrying feminist. I've never met a woman who actually doesn't like having the door held. Now, I hold the door for men if I get to the door first. So I've never been offended. If someone tackled me because they wanted to be the one at the door first, that might be weird. But I don't think the slippery slope arguments actually have a place in this, because the women saying, hey, we've been harassed, this makes us feel unsafe, that's what we're talking about, the ones that make us feel unsafe. And to the extent that makes men a little self-conscious about what they're saying, I would say that might be a good effect, that maybe it's time that men unpack what their default assumption is, which is every woman would want to hear this or every woman would want this experience, and just pause and say, okay, what is the context here? Is she jogging and working out and has headphones in? If so, she probably doesn't want to hear, hey, nice body, because she's doing something or she's on her way to work. Now, that's different if you're across the table from a beautiful woman on a date. So I think that, yes, there's context, there's nuance. Most women don't go through the world, you know, ready to jump down some guy's throat if they compliment them. I just think it's important for men to pay attention to that context and wonder, would she feel safe? Is this a welcome comment? And if I'm not sure, is there some other way I can start a conversation that doesn't make her feel like I'm hitting on her right off the bat?
Our guest is Lindsay Middlecamp, a member of the board of directors for Stop Street Harassment, an advocacy group based in Washington, D.C., and she is talking with us about street harassment, what it is and how to stop it. Our conversation prompted by that viral video of a woman walking down the streets of New York. She's dressed in jeans and a T-shirt, and she was experiencing all sorts of catcalls and street harassment by dozens of men. You know, hello, baby, hey, beautiful, you know, why don't you smile, you know, why aren't you responding? Is there something wrong with this as far as you're concerned? Or do you think we ought to stop street harassment? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We are talking with a guest in this hour about stopping street harassment and welcoming your questions for her and your experiences and maybe your solutions to stopping street harassment. Lindsay Middlecamp is with us. She is with the group Stop Street Harassment. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Let's go back to the phones. Mike in Baraboo is with us. Hello, Mike.
Yes, good morning. Say, I have two daughters in the university system. My daughter Rachel's up in La Crosse. She's a bit of an activist, but a beautiful girl, and she always seems to get involved in different things. So when I heard she was part of this group about street harassment, I forget, like catcalling, I said, oh, you know what, Rachel, it's been around for years. So here a couple weekends ago, my wife, and she said, you know what, Dad, why don't you and Mom come out to La Crosse, walk about a half a block behind me and my girlfriend, and see how bad it is. And I've got to tell you, Joy, what a wake-up. I mean, they didn't know that was my daughter up there with her two girlfriends, but the men were absolutely vulgar. I mean, just vulgar. I told the lady who I talked to before I got on the air, the stuff that my gender was saying, I was embarrassed for them. And I had interactions with some of these men because it got so bad. The one gentleman's like, well, I didn't know it was your daughter. I said, everybody's somebody's daughter, you idiot. I said, that's ridiculous. I said, why do you think you get to act like that? And then the attitude's like, well, they like it, or well, they deserve it, or why are they dressed like that? My daughter was dressed appropriately for the weather. She had a coat on. She had jeans on. So did the other girls. I mean, it just was a wake-up call for me. It was an embarrassment for me as a male because they were acting like absolute idiots, and it went on for four blocks before I finally grabbed my daughter and said, look, let's go to lunch, Rachel, I said, because I'm going to get in a fight with somebody here if we keep doing this little experiment.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so glad you called in with that experience. What an eye-opener. And I'm not going to ask you what vulgar comments they were making, but what about that, Lindsay? You're not surprised to hear this.
No, and I'm really encouraged for your daughters that you are open-minded enough that if they say, hey, Dad, come see what I'm experienced, that you went and did it. And I think that's really what a lot of women who are taking to the internet are asking the men in their lives to do, is just put themselves in their shoe and imagine it. And you're absolutely right. The times I've confronted men about this, their first question is only, well, do you have a man? Because if you have a man, you know, I wouldn't want to disrespect him because I recognize that these kind of comments would be inappropriate if there's some other male figure in your life, whether it's a dad. I'm sure when they're asking me, they mean, you know, a boyfriend or husband. But, you know, God helps lesbian women or people who aren't walking around with their dad who don't have the excuse of having a man or any woman who doesn't want to have to associate themselves with a male protector to get respect on the street. So thank you so much for calling, and I'm sorry that your daughters are experiencing it, but keep up the great work through their activism.
Yeah. So how should not just the woman who or the person who is experiencing the street harassment respond? How should a bystander, like, you know, there's a guy walking behind me hearing this, should a stranger intervene?
You know, I don't think there's an easy answer to this. I think the safest answer is, unfortunately, still for many, no. There was a guy hospitalized in Philly who told some car full of jerks, hey, watch what you're saying to these women. The people got out of their car and beat that guy up. Mm-hmm. I think often a man calling out another man can escalate to violence. I tried to take a page from the UOKSIS hashtag, which encourages not confronting the harasser, but just going near the person being harassed and coming up with any excuse of, hey, you want to go get coffee, or, oh, I haven't seen you in so long, pretending to know them to kind of get them out of that situation, make sure they're okay. But even when I did that recently at a bus stop, the guy became belligerent and threatened to beat us both to death. Mm-hmm. I don't think there is necessarily a safe way. I think the best thing, if you think there's risk, is, you know, to call somebody. But if you don't feel like there's risk, go to the person being harassed, and even if it's after it's passed, say, hey, that wasn't cool, because so much of the harm of harassment is feeling isolated or like you're overreacting. And so just getting a simple acknowledgement from a stranger that I saw that, are you okay, I think can make a world of difference. And if you're with your guy friends and you know them, then absolutely call them out and say, that's not cool.
Angela on Facebook says, I was 8 months pregnant and out on a walk in my neighborhood with my 2-year-old daughter. I was honked at by passing cars, whistled at, and heard, hey, baby, several times. It goes to show it doesn't matter how you're dressed or what you look like or who you're with. It never stops. It's unwanted and quite frankly disgusting to me. How do we teach our daughters to respond or not respond, since either way, the harasser keeps harassing?
Well, and I'll say, I think, you know, people who know me in my regular life, I'm not walking around, you know, looking like I walked off a runway. I think it often is people who men think that they're safe to harass. That's not to say that, you know, great-looking women or ugly women don't get different kinds of harassment all the time, but often they'll pick someone that they think, you know, this person will be grateful. Like, you know, for some reason, this person is going to want my attention more than others. I think the best thing we can teach our daughters is self-worth that doesn't come from the opinions, good or bad, of a stranger on the street sizing them up physically. I think if you can walk through the world knowing doesn't matter if some jerk on the street thinks that you're hot or thinks that you're ugly, your worth comes from a lot of different sources that aren't that kind of external commentary. That's a big start, because self-esteem is going to help you navigate the world in a way that it wouldn't if you're getting harassed.
We have less than 30 seconds, Lindsay.
Sure.
Will street harassment ever go away?
I think so. I'm very encouraged by the online activism. I'm very encouraged by your callers alone as a snapshot. I think we just got to keep working at it and keep having the conversations.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Lindsay Middlecamp is a member of the Board of Directors for Stop Street Harassment. Thanks to Christy Taylor and to Brianne Chasso for producing and directing this hour. Thanks for all your calls. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. Hey, tomorrow at this time, we are going to be recapping the election results. That's tomorrow. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.